Okay, so we have 214 psukim. Vayakil is 122. Kudei is 92. It's a big parsha. And it's a familiar parsha. Sounds familiar because we know a lot of these ideas already from Truma. It seems like we're going back to building the Mishkan again. Right, so it's a very interesting, you have to figure out why we need a Vayakil Pukudei. What's the point of reviewing all of these inyanim? Obviously, there are new inyanim as well. Okay, but on page Shin Mem, in our Shir's edition, the piece that begins, Ode B'Psukim Hanal. Okay, he's commenting on the beginning of Parshas Vayakil. We're probably just going to do this one piece today. It's a long piece. Vayakil Moshe is Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Just reading the Psukim. Moshe is Vayakil. Moshe assembled. He gathered together. Rashi says it was the day after Yom Kippur. Moshe had come down with Luchos Shnios. Moshe gathers together Bnei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem eila hadvar mesher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. These are the things that Hashem has commanded you to do. Sheishes yamim te'asem alacha. For 6 days, work may be done. Uvayom ha'shvi yalachem kodesh Shabbos shavason la'Hashem. Kol ha'osav ha'malacha you must. Shabbos is a sacred day, and we don't perform malacha on Shabbos. We don't light a fire. Why dafka? Of all the things, is that singled out? Okay, lots to explore here. But essentially, Moshe gets everyone together, and he shares with them once again that Hashem values Shabbos and Hashem values Mishkan. That's what goes on. Chu mitchem truma laHashem, kol nediv libo, take contributions. Everyone donate for the Mishkan. Mishkan and Shabbos, Shabbos and Mishkan, fine. Says Rashi, reading inside now, Uperish Rashi Zal, Hiktim HaKosav Azharas Shabbos L'tzivoy Melechas HaMishkan. The reason the Torah spoke about Shabbos prior to speaking about the Mishkan, Lomar She'ino Dochas HaShabbos. To teach you that Shabbos comes before the Mishkan. Shabbos is not pushed aside by Mishkan. Again, those who are at Shir on Sunday, the amazing Sfas Emes that we learned, what does it mean? What's the idea of Mishkan? Conceptually, what's the idea of Shabbos Kodesh? But the fact that it places Shabbos before it really dives into Mishkan is telling us that Shabbos is more important than Mishkan. Okay? As har es Shabbos, letzivar l'mach ha-shem Mishkan, lomar she'ino dochas ha-shabbos. Mishkan is not dochas Shabbos. Okay. Good kasha. However, here's the kasha. The kasha is, we know that already. Hakvar pirshu zos beparshas kisisa. We already explained this in Parshas Kisisa. Shisham gamkin nemras haras Shabbos esel melechas mishkan. That was the Rashi we did on Sunday. When the pasuk says, "Make me a mishkan," but then Hashem says, "Ach es shabsosai tishmoru," but don't forget about Shabbos. So we learned this already. We learned that Shabbos overrides mishkan, not the other way around. So why is it being repeated here? And even more nuanced, if you're paying attention, says the Mor v'Shemesh, v'od kasha, shebekan nichtav azharas Shabbos kodem l'malachas ha-mishkan. Here it mentions Shabbos, right? In Pasuk Beis, before it dives into Mishkan in Pasuk Hei. U'v'parshas kisisa, but the first time we had it, nichtav azharas Shabbos achar malachas ha-mishkan. In Parshas Kisisa, it says Mishkan. Oh, but by the way, don't forget Shabbos. Which Rashi said, oh, so we see from here that Shabbos is more important than Mishkan. So why, over here, is it Shabbos then Mishkan? And in Kisisa, it's Mishkan and then Shabbos. And in both places, it's teaching the same thing. Which is that Shabbos is of a greater value than Mishkan. Why change the order here? Why mention Shabbos first here? And why in Kisisa does it mention Mishkan first and then Shabbos? Shemikodem nema re'ei kurasi. In Parshas Kisisa, first it assigns Bezalel to be the architect of the Mishkan, and then afterwards it warns about Shabbos. So why the change in the order? That's question number two. O yesh ladaktik, let's ask further. In Parshas Kisisa, Hashem says, look, Moshe, I want you to see how I've assigned Bezalel. She'amar Hashem Yisbarach Zos LaMoshe Levado. Hashem says, Moshe, I want you to know, right? I'm telling you who's in charge here. Bezalel's in charge. But here, Bakan, Beparshas Vayakel, over here,
towards the end of the first parak, we're going to read the Shabbos, parak Lamed Aleph. Right? We're going to find in Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u Kira Hashem B'Shem B'Tzal. Now Moshe informs all of Bnei Yisrael that B'Tzal is the head architect. So why originally did Hashem just tell it privately to Moshe? And what happened here that Moshe needs to make sure that everyone knows that B'Tzal is the chosen one in terms of being the architect of the Mishkan? Mashma Shezet Tzival Yisrael Shebetzal Dafka Yaseh Mishkan. Why this emphasis that everyone should know that B'Tzal is the architect? And why does everyone need to know that? Originally, it was enough for Moshe to know it. Now, we want to make sure everyone knows that. Why? And lastly, Va'od Kasha, Shebitchila Lo Perish Shemosha B'Tzal. Initially, actually, B'Tzal's name is hidden from us. It simply says, Rak V'chol Chacham Lev Vachem Yavo'u V'yasu. Anyone who is what? A Chacham Lev. Anyone who has an inspired, wise heart should bring and do. Mashma'uso shenitzdavu kol chachmei Yisrael shiyasu melechas ha-mishkan. It's implied that everyone is invited not only to bring, but yasu, to do the mishkan, to make the mishkan. V'acher kach hayikra tzivah le-betzalo. But then we say, but then we reveal, you know what, the truth is B'Tzalo is really in charge here. Okay? So a whole number of questions. Again, number one, why do you need to tell me once again that Shabbos is of greater value than Mishkan? Number two, why do you switch the order? In Parshas Kisisa, it's Mishkan then Shabbos. Here it's Shabbos and then Mishkan. Number three, why was it enough to tell Moshe originally that B'Tzal is in charge and now the Pasuk is saying that Moshe told everyone that B'Tzal is in charge? And lastly, why does it imply that anyone who wants can be involved? And then it pulls back and says, well, no, it really just B'Tzal. Okay, those are our four questions. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so the fourth question regarding Moshe letting everybody know?
The third question is Moshe letting everyone know?
Sorry, the third question. Is it more because it should have been private between Moshe and Hashem, or we really did want
to? It's kind of like Mevan Avshach. If you want to tell everyone, Hashem should have told everyone right away. Right? Like, what's happening now that we have to remind everyone that B'Tzal is in charge? Right? Why didn't they need to know that originally? Why do they need to know that now? Right? But the question, you'll see the answer is going to be more, why did everyone need to be reminded and taught why B'Tzal was selected? That's really going to be the Vart. Why was B'Tzal selected? Who was he? Who was B'Tzal that he was Roy to be the chief architect of the house of God, the Mishkan? How can I? The fourth question is, it sounds in the Pasuk, V'chol chacham lev b'chem yavo v'yasu. Anyone who wants, anyone who's smart, anyone who's spiritually inclined, is invited to get involved, v'yasu, and to make the Mishkan. And then afterwards it says, not really. Really, it's under B'Tzal's watch. Everyone, so is everyone involved? Or is everyone's donating, that's for sure. But who's yasu? Who's putting it together? Right? Is there a team? Maybe there's a team. But B'Tzal's in charge. So we have to, the main nakuda here is going to be, what's special about B'Tzal, and what does that reveal to us about the arrangement of the Mishkan? Yeah.
Doesn't Rashi say that he's like Miriam's son?
Yeah, we know a little bit of who B'Tzal is. We know some of his, right? B'Tzal ben Uri ben Chur. Chur was Moser Nefesh by the eagle.
Right.
So we know he has Chos Avos. We know that he's an important person. But we have to really understand, what do we want from a Mishkan? What does Hashem want from creation? As our Rebbe, the Mor v'Shemesh, often does, he zooms out for us. And then, why B'Tzal? How does B'Tzal's mahus make him fit to carry out that mission statement of creation and of Mishkan?
What Shiva was B'Tzal?
No, B'Tzal? No, B'Tzal's from Yehuda. Ahaliyav's from Dan. His partner. Right? That's the Ayin. I'm from Dan. Yes.
Ahaliyav.
I'm from Shevet Dan. Matthew Silver's from Shevet Dan.
Isn't there some explanation that Aliyah was chosen because Hashem is showing that he's spreading out the
right? No, so there's a chibur. There's definitely a chibur from end to end, right? Meaning, if we think of Yehuda as the highest shevet in a certain way, and Dan as the lowest shevet in a certain way, so the partnership of B'Tzal and Aliyah is a very significant one, showing that every yid has a place here. Right? But sof kol sof, B'Tzal is the rebbe, and Aliyah is his gabbai, you know. Okay, so let's see. V'nira lefarish al pi medrash v'parshas truma. Let's begin with a a wonderment when it comes to making a space for Hashem. Sounds like a very silly idea. I'm going to make a little house for Hashem. That's cute. The whole world is Hashem's, and beyond the world is Hashem's. So what exactly am I making a space for Hashem? What does that mean? V'nira l'parish al pi ha-medrash v'parish ha-struma. The medrash says, Davar acher, shakai lo mitzanuhu sagi koach. When it comes to shakai, that's one of the names of Hashem, lo mitzanuhu sagi koach. Now, there's a lot of ways to read this pasuk. Let's read it positive, in a positive way. Shakai Hashem, lo mitzanu, we can't reach you, we can't attain you, we can't understand you, we can't grasp you, we can't find you. You know why? Sagi koach. Because you are so full of energy. You're so big, you're so grandiose. Hashem, you're so beyond that I can't I almost can't serve you. It's a pasuk in Eov. And it's a pasuk that expresses the frustration of trying to do something for an infinite God. And that's exactly what this Medrash comments. The Avesi Lamalu B'Parsha Zo, the Medrash comments on this pasuk. Misha Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aseli Mishkan. Right? Make me a Mishkan. Hischa Matmi of Omer. So Moshe turns back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't get it. Kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Elyonim V'Tachtonim. Hashem, you fill all the worlds above and below. V'hu Omer Aseli Mishkan. You want me to build you a little bias? How does that work? Why should that work? What's the purpose in that? How am I going to build a house that's big enough for you, Hashem? L'kach Amar Moshe, Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, B'Tzel Shakai Yislonan. We know the pasuk. Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, Mahu B'Tzel Shakai Yislonan. What does it mean in the tzel, in the shade or the shadow of Shakai Yislonan? What does it mean to dwell in the tzel Shakai? So the Medrash says, Bitzel Kel, Bitzel Rachum, Bitzel Chanun, in Ksivkan. It doesn't say Bitzel Kel. It doesn't say in the shadow of Kel, or in the shadow of Rachum, or the shadow of Chanun. It says Bitzel Shakai. Says the Medrash, what does that mean? Bitzel Sha'asa Bitzalel. What is going on in this Medrash? I'm not understanding any of this. You started off by telling me the impossibility of making a space for Hashem. Hashem is too big. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kasha. Hashem says back, don't worry, we're going to figure it out. And the end of that Medrash really is Hashem says, I could even dwell in an Amma by an Amma. I could fit into a very small space. And then there's this Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, B'Tzel Shakai Yislonan. It doesn't say B'Tzel Kel, which is ironic because B'Tzal El, that's his name. Right. It says Bitzel Shakai. And that's Bitzel Sha'asa Bitzalel. What? Bitzalel obviously understood something. There's something about Bitzalel. I don't know his name is Bitzel Kel. It's not really Bitzel Kel. He understands Bitzel Shakai. What does any of this mean? Vizeh HaMedrash L'Chorah Hu Sosum V'Chosum. This Medrash is sealed. It's closed and sealed off. What does it mean? Mahu HaMashmos. What is the implication of Bitzel Shakai? Shia Mashua Bitzel Sha'asa Bitzalel. The space, the shadow, the shade that Bitzalel created. What's a shadow? What is shade? Metaphorically speaking, what is that? What does it mean to be in the shadow of Hashem? Does it mean I'm protected? Like when a person's in the hot sun and they find somewhere to go in the shade, so now they're covered over, they're protected? Is it protection? Is that what it means? Hashem Tzilcha, like we say in Tehillim. Al Yad Yiminecha. What does that mean? Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shade. Hashem provides shade for you. Hashem protects you. Or like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Hashem follows your lead. The same way your shadow follows you around. When you walk around, there's a shadow of you on the ground. Your shadow traces you and follows you. So Hashem what? Hashem follows your lead? Bitzal is leading the way? Bitzal knows how to shadow Hashem? What's going on here? So let's see. It's a long piece. Let's go a little deeper. He says, Gama medrash of a parshas vayakel. Di'isa.
kol habina shahaya bebetzalel mishel shakai haya. All of the bina, all of the deep understanding that Bezalel embodied. Where did he get it from? He got it from Shakai. He got it from Hashem. But it doesn't say Yudke Vavke. It doesn't say he got it from Elohim. It doesn't say he got it from Kel, Bezalel. No, it says Bezalel understood Shakai. The name that we have on the outside of Mezuzah. What is that name of Hashem? Shin Dal Yud. And what did Bezalel understand about it that made him understand the Mishkan? Why do we keep using this name of Hashem? It's a lesser known name of Hashem. What is this name? So, Chevra, let's go into it. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Daf Nun Hey, Yodeya Hayu Bezalel Litzarev Haosios Shinivro Behem Shamayim Vaaretz. Bezalel knew how to align the letters, how to combine the letters Litzarev, to refine and to align and to arrange the letters that Hashem used to create the world. In other words, we know Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world. What does it mean to look in the Torah? Hashem looked at the letters. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Hashem looked at the letters and somehow was able to weave them together into a physical reality that makes up this world. And Bezalel knew how to combine them. If he knew how to work with them. Right? He knew how to somehow put them together. I don't know how to put together letters and make things. Bezalel knew how to... had creative powers in a way that was somehow mimicking the way Hashem built the world. Well, why did Bezalel need to know how Hashem put things together to create the world? The answer is very simple. Umatzinu bezara kadosh, u'sifrei kodesh. The holy books tell us, Shamishkan hayo dugmas masa bereishis. Because the Mishkan was supposed to be a microcosm of the world. So if you want to build a Mishkan, you have to first ask yourself, well, what does Hashem want from any of this? Because the same question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked about the Mishkan, we could ask about the whole world. What was Moshe's question about the Mishkan? What's the point of building a little space for you, God? You're much bigger than this. So, however, we could ask the same thing about the entire universe. What's the point of all of this? So, of course, so, Hashem, you're going to be bigger than planet Earth, that's for sure. You're going to be bigger than the solar system, that's for sure. You're going to be bigger than all the angelic beings beyond this physical world, that's for sure. So what's the point of all of it? It's all too small for you. It's all insignificant. Right? Shakai lomitzanu sagi kalach, like Eov said. What's the point of all of this? Oh. But somehow the Mishkan is supposed to answer also the question of creation, right? What's the point of creation? What's the point of anything? What does Hashem need this? What does Hashem need it? Hashem needs a Jew to strike out the Dominican Republic baseball players. Maybe. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the talk of the answer. Hashem needs what? Hashem needs an Ari to eat a banana for breakfast. That's what he needs. That's what he needs. That's what he wants. Hashem needs me to sit in traffic on the George Washington Bridge and have to pay $17. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants in the Bria. What does Hashem want? No, really, Bamas, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants us to learn Tosos on Gittin Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. What does that do for God? What does it do for you? I'm happily married. No intention of divorcing my wife, Baruch Hashem. What do I need to learn Gittin for? What's the tachlis of all this? You can ask it about anything. And you can get really cynical if you keep going down that road. Right? So what is the purpose of all of this? And the answer is, Chevra, Yesh Lefarish Kach. Kamuva Le'el Kama Pa'amim. Ki kavanas habore baruchu haya b'masa bereishis shiyasgala malchuso ba'olam. We don't really have to understand the why, we have to know what the what is. Why Hashem wants it is beyond, it's a ratzon. It's a ratzon of Hashem. The same way I can't explain to you why I want certain things that I want. I just want them, I desire them. It's a taiva, it's a desire, it's a longing. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants shiyasgala malchuso ba'olam, to reveal his kingdom in this world. I don't know why he wants that, but it's clear to me from the fact that he created the world that he does want that. That much he's made clear. V'yashchinaso b'tachtonim. I don't know why he wants that, but he wants his shchina, he wants to manifest somehow in the lower realms. I don't know why. I don't know what the thrill Hashem gets out of that is, but that's Hashem's greatest desire. U'briosav yedu me'elukuso yisvarach shemo. And he wants us to be able to see him, to recognize him, to know him. Right? That briosav, that his creations should yedu, we should know that he's God.
Yedatim Kandi Hashem. No?
Yes. How does Hashem have an aspect of like kingdom shift or kingdom before Bris Eilonis?
It's a great question. And we know he does, because Adon Olam, Hashem Alach, Mitarim Kol Yitzir Nivra. You are the Adon Olam, you are the right, master of the world. Asher Malach, you are a Melech, Biterem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before anything was created. At the same time, we have a Maimer Chazal, right? There can be no Melech without an Am. Right? But Hashem doesn't need, right? And that's what Adon Olam is saying. Don't fall into the, be careful with the word need. Hashem needs us so that he can have a kingdom. He can't be a Melech without us. That's not true. Adon Olam, you were the master of the world, Asher Malach, who ruled before there was anything. Well, what did you rule over? Right? That's a very deep question that Jewish philosophy and Hasidus obviously deals with, trying to solve. What is a Melech without an Am? Hashem does need us. Now, on a higher level, he doesn't need us. On a lower level, the name of the game is that we have to feel that Hashem desperately needs us. And that's why he created this world. And he wants us to recognize him. And Hashem gets an achas ruach from that. Right? We have to believe that in a real way. We're supposed to believe that in a real way. Here's always the catch 22. Here's the problem. But because of the great kedusha of Hashem, lo yachlu b'nei adam lakabel abihiras ahu. I can't meet Hashem head on. No, last week's parsha. You can't see me and survive. So how do we? So how do we get together? L'mashal, for example, kamosha built the efshar lahabid bizarre chama beis tokef bihiraso. Just like it's built the Epsher, just like it's impossible to look at the Zohar Chama, at the radiance of the sun, when it's at Tokaf Birasa, when it's at full blast, you can't look at the sun directly overhead, right? An Israeli summer day at noon, looking up, you can barely lift your head towards the sky. So infinite number of times over. It's impossible, but Bihiras Alokusa is Baruch Shemo. To look, to stare, to have a direct encounter, a clear encounter with Hashem. We would cease to exist. We couldn't even get close. We can't even get close to one of His creations, the sun. So what did Hashem do in order to make a point of encounter? And this is, again, fundamentals of Chassidus 101. Lekach ilas kol ha'ilos, shil shel ha'olam ozeh lamat mizeh. Right? The cause of all causes began to what? Began to be mitzamtzim, to contract His infinite light through the worlds as it descended. V'chol masha olamos him yoser lamata, and as it gets lower and lower and lower, haruchnias shabo yoser katan. The purely spiritual nature of it becomes decreased. V'habihiras eno mavik kol kach. And its radiance, its shine, its clarity is not as powerful, is not as pronounced. And it becomes so contracted, that infinite light of Hashem becomes so contracted, to the point where at least there's somewhere where I can start, literally with that banana, and I make a hadama, and I begin my journey to what? To Ein Sof. Because that banana is just what? It's just a highly diluted form of Elokus. But it's contained, it contains everything within it. Now I can look at it and just say, well, it's just a banana. It's just a bottle of water. It's just a muffin. Right? It's just a pair of tefillin. It's just a chumash. It's just a cell phone. So the goal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu squeezes it all the way down to the point where it's very easy to grab on. And then the goal is to start climbing, right? And as you go from level 1 to level 2, it gets a little harder. Because the light gets a little brighter. So you have to be a little bit more prepared to receive. And then you climb, and you climb, and you climb, and you climb. And Hashem made it in such a way. Because again, if you're in a dark room, and the lights turn on, you've been sitting in a dark room for a long time, suddenly floodlights go on, you know. It's blinding. You're blinded by the light. So Hashem says, listen, I can't let you step into the light directly. Right off the bat, you'll be overwhelmed. Hashem says, you're baser v'dam. We'll start from the bottom up. We'll start with gashmius. We'll start with physicality. And we'll slowly start to climb through that physicality as a way, me'olam ad olam, from world to world,
V'sheyuchol lakabel achar kacha oros hayosir gedolim ad ein sof baruch. To be able to handle the bright lights, that my eyes should be adjusted through my spiritual efforts to be able to what? To get closer and closer to a full encounter with Hashem. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have, you know, tried to present himself to us, as our physical selves, right, that are excited by the things of Olam Hazeh, if Hashem would have been megala too much ruchnias at once, we would explode. We couldn't handle it. So Hashem was mitzamtzem all of that, and then gave us a system by which we could slowly climb our way back up. Okay, Jordan, what do you want to say?
And they were talking about this concept, which I think is similar, but not exactly the same, of like Ein Sof. How like anything in this world may seem like it's impossible for us in this world. We have to remember that we have part of us that's not from this world, that's
right
above this world. So like, even if you see this metaphorical wall in front of you that you may not be able to get through,
that's right.
You have to realize part of you is not from this spiritual world, and you're above.
That's right. If Hashem is described as Ein Sof, and we are one with Hashem, that means we're Ein Sof. That means Ein Sof means that there's no point where a Jew says, I can't. Right? Ein Sof. There's no end to my ability to try better, to try again, to fix, to improve, to get closer and closer towards that perfection that Hashem embodies, because we carry a bit of that inside of us. That's right. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the whole climbing thing. You mean like seeing physical things?
So we haven't fully explained it yet, right? We haven't fully explained it yet, right? What we've explained so far is that Hashem wants to interact with us. That's what creation is about. That's what Mishkan is about. The challenge of creation and Mishkan is twofold. From Hashem's perspective, we feel like it's too small for Him. And from our perspective, well, if Hashem made it, you know, bigger, we'd be overwhelmed by it. So like, we're trying to find that sweet spot, and that's about to be the point we're about to make. We're trying to find that place where what? Where there's enough godliness that we're not drowning in physicality, but there's enough physicality that we're not, you know, exploding from godliness. Right? And the name of Hashem that embodies that is what name? Shakai. Shin, Dalet, and Yud. That's the name of Hashem, as we're about to see, that represents the ability to what? To find exactly where that border is between the physical and the spiritual. Because if the world is too physical, we would never even be able to find Hashem. And if the world was too spiritual, then there'd be nothing for us to work on. Because we wouldn't be able to survive. Our neshamas would just become one with Hashem again. So we have to find that place where what? Where I have to make a choice. Do I want to get up in the morning? Do I want to learn Torah? Do I want to remember to make a bracha? Do I want to work on my Shemira Seinayim? Do I want to stop speaking Lashon Hara? Do I want to be more honest in my business practices? Right? I have to find that spot where I can make meaningful choices. Yeah. Very interesting question. So there's a starting point that we share, right? And then there's a point, again, like we learned on Sunday, where Yisrael is kadosh. Kadosh means exclusive. Hareyat mekudeshesli, husband and wife. It's true. Chavivin, chaviv adam, yergiavos. Chaviv adam shenivar betzalim. How fortunate are you? Who is it talking to? Everyone. Every person on the street. Every single person on the street. Chaviv Adam, Shenivar B'Tzalem. Every person. Man, woman, child, regardless of race or religion or anything. Every person has to be thankful. Chaviv, how lucky you are to have been created B'Tzalem Elokim. In the image of God. That's true about every single person. Says the Mishnah, B'Chaviv in Yisrael. But even more fortunate are you, Jewish people, Shenikru Banim Lamakum, that you're Hashem's children.
It's like everybody has shot.
You're not just one of his subjects, you're not an Eved, you're a Ben. So there is a commonality in terms of, yes, the whole world has the opportunity to know Hashem. Right? But our opportunity to be close to the King, who happens to also be our father, right, is that much greater. Okay? But you're right, there's nothing in the world You know, again, ein od mavado. If you learn it al pi chasidus, ein od mavado means that there's nothing other than Hashem. What's everything? Then what's everything else? Perception. Now, I'm comfortable with perception when it manifests as the Shner Zalman. That's a gewaldic thing. Shner Zalman is a gewaldic thing. Right? When it's a Rafi press, it's gewaldic. Right? But what about when it's not so gewaldic? What if it's a drunken bum on a corner? Right? What if it's a Russia who's calling for the eradication of the state of Israel? So how is that a reflection of Chaviv Adam Shenever B'Tzelem? He's also created B'Tzelem Elokim. A Russia loses his Tzelem Elokim. That bar that people go to get drunk and take home a date for a one-night stand. That's what Hashem wants. That's good. That's a good thing. How is that good? How is that a reflection? How is that? Ain't Od Mavado. There's nothing other than Hashem. Hashem is creating a perception that that's a part of Him. I often think about it. You know, for all the schmutz and all the nonsense I have in my head over the last 41 years, you know, I think about the fact that Hashem actually knows about everything. The most disgusting things that, you know, the most perverse things in this world, Hashem knows it intimately because He knows everything. That is somehow a manifestation of Him. Now we're already talking really hard words at this point. Like, how does that work? What does that mean? But Chassidus says that. The Vilna Gaon is not ready to say that. The Vilna Gaon pulls back a little. Chassidus says, no, that's Einod Mavado. Not just Hashem allows it to exist by giving people free will to do what they want, even if it's lowly and disgusting things. Hashem is even more present there. Involved in it. But Hashem said, but you can't be involved in it. That's not for you. It's us. We learned that piece in Rabbi Nachman. So how does that work? You know, where is that point of distinction between a Jew's avoda and a human being's avoda? And what does it mean to find Hashem within everything? And again, going back to our fundamental question, what is the purpose? And how is it possible to make a world or to make a Mishkan? What does Hashem want from this? How is it realistic? How does it work? No, Azriel. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it, and Hashem is mashkiach from a distance, but Hashem is not in it. Chassidus says there's no Hashem is everything, so There's no sense of Hashem not being there. Right? It's all a perception of, you know, a perception of Hashem not being there. But that's uncomfortable, because that means you put Hashem into really strange things. You put godliness into really unusual places. Okay, but let's come back to our fundamental challenge here, which is to make a Mishkan. It seems too small. Right? So for Hashem to be too big, then there's no space for us. So where do we meet up? The Amru Chazal. Do you have it as a separate paragraph, or you have it just as a continuation where we're up to? The Amru Chazal. Some of us have a new paragraph. The Amru Chazal, Bishah, yeah? You guys have it?
Yeah,
it's continuation. Where are we? Va'amru Chazal, b'shah shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu asa olam haya marchiv v'holich. Says the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Beis that when Hashem was creating the world, it was in a state of expanding, marchiv v'holich. Hashem was making a world; it was unfolding. Ad shegar bo Kadosh Baruch Hu v'amido, until Hashem got it to just the right spot. Ga'ar bo, literally Hashem yelled at it, he screamed to it, alright, stop! The world, so to speak, slammed on the brakes. V'amido, it stood in its place. Tichsiv ani kel shakai. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu in Lech Lecha says, I am kel shakai. Ani hu shamarti la'olami, dai. I am the one who said to my world, dai. Dayeno, enough, stop, perfect, good, that's the right spot. What exactly is this Gemara about? The world was expanding, unfolding, until Hashem said, okay, perfect, stop right there. What is that spot? Ubira davar shira Hashem yisparach shebeim yispashit od v'yisgashem yoser. Hashem understood that if it's yispashit, if it spreads out more, if the world becomes more gashmi, if it becomes more physical, if the world becomes more olam hazadik, az lo yiyeh b'yecholis ha'odom lachzor u'lakasher atzmo b'sharsho l'ein sof baruchu. That it's going to dip down too low to the point that a Jew, a person, will not be able lachzor, to return, u'lakasher atzmo, to attach himself to his root. He'll stray too far. The rope will be too difficult to climb. If Hashem goes too low, he's got to get it to just the right point where a Jew can make a choice to start climbing. Lakach amar Hashem yisbarach lo'olamo, die. Hashem said to the world, stop, enough, perfect. Leval yisgashem yoser. If the world becomes more gashmi, if it becomes more physical, we're going to get stuck in it. We're going to forget that there's a God. We're going to forget about Torah and mitzvos. We're going to be totally enveloped by taivas olam hazeh to the point that we won't be able to find Hashem. V'ikr sha'ashu'e Hashem yisbarach. And yet, Hashem, right? The world is still pretty physical, no? Last I checked. I mean, what was the next level down that we couldn't go to? The world's got plenty of gashmias. But the main delight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ikar sha'ashu'e Hashem yisbarach, the great pleasure of Hashem, heim biyos ha'odam mizachech chumriyuso uvocher batov. The great delight, the great pleasure of Hashem is when a Jew decides that what? That I want to mizachech, I want to refine, like Shem and Zayin Zach, I want to purify, I want to refine my chumrius, I want to refine my physicality. Ubocher batov. And I want to what? And I want to choose good. And that's something I can work on. And that's very, Chever, that's very real for every person in this room. That's very real. We could all imagine ourselves living a life, a carefree life of gashmius. And there's probably a part of every one of us that wants to live that way. But I'm a yid. And I have to choose to do the right thing. And I have to try to refine my gashmius. So if when I was 13 years old, or 14 years old, or 15 years old, I was a little bit more busy with Olam Hazeh, now I want to level up a little bit. Now I'm 16, now I'm 17, now I'm 18, now I'm 19, now I'm 20. I want to be a little bit higher than the world. I'm still in the physical world. Right? But maybe I've graduated from certain things that I struggled with, or I was busy with, or I was excited about when I was 13 or 14 or 15. Right? Maybe I'm a little bit less interested in Western culture. Maybe I'm a little bit less interested in movies and sports and music. Maybe there's things that are more valuable in my life now. Maybe I have other things that are more important to me. Or maybe even when I engage in certain physical activities that I still enjoy and I'm a human being and I have to. But maybe I used to eat without a bracha, now I eat with a bracha. That's called leveling up. Right? Maybe I used to eat in a gluttonous fashion, now I'm a little bit more meditative when I eat. That's a level up. So that's climbing that chain, right? That Hashem set up the world perfectly, shakai, right on the line where you could start to choose. Hashem, you can't blame Hashem for saying the world is too physical. Hashem says, no, I made it just physical enough. And you can't say that it's too easy, because it's not. Right? The spirit, it's spiritual enough that if you're searching, you can find the holiness. But if you're not searching, you're not going to find it. So Hashem set it up just right. That's what the name Shakai means. Yeah.
Is it going to be the opposite extreme, that if the world was made more rough,
then we wouldn't be able to choose otherwise, right? It would be too obvious. Or we would simply cease to exist. We couldn't. There wouldn't be space for us to exist as a physical person. Right? We'd be an angel, yeah. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to be human beings. Exactly this line. The pleasure of Hashem is when a Jew refines his physicality, he's working on himself, and he's bocher batov. U'mekasher atzmo b'sharsho. Okay? Now, we still haven't really answered any of our questions, and it's starting to get late, so we got to get moving here. What is Shabbos? How does Shabbos relate to all this? In some ways, I would say Shabbos is my most spiritual day. In some ways, I would say Shabbos is my most physical day. Right? On the one hand, Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos, the tefillos of Shabbos, the clothing of Shabbos, go to the mikvah before Shabbos, and learn a little more on Shabbos, and Neiros Shabbos, Kiddush on Shabbos, Avdol at the end of Shabbos. Right? Shabbos Kodesh. It's a different day. It brings a different energy to my life. Very spiritual at the same time. Maybe very physical. Maybe during the week I'm so busy. Shabbos, I sleep more, I eat more. Right? Maybe I'm more involved in Olam Haza activities on a certain level. Right? Shabbos has maybe the best gashmius, the best food of the week. So what's that about? How does that work? V'lachein horid HaKadosh Baruch Hu kedushas Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos. Let's see what he does with Shabbos. Shu nachala b'limei tzarim. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is a nachala b'li meitzarim. Interesting. Interesting way to describe Shabbos. What's a nachala? Not a nachal. Nachala, portion. A portion, an inheritance. Right? My space. My chelek. Shabbos is a portion b'li meitzarim. Without borders, without boundaries. Again, we said the world is set up very precisely. Shakai. Shakai. Hashem knew exactly where to draw the line between Ruchnius and Gashmius. Shabbos, all of a sudden, we're outside of the borders. In what way? Which way are we going? Shabbos is more Gashmius? Shabbos is more Ruchnius? Which way is Shabbos? V'hu espashtus ha-Ruchnius v'li shum Gashmius. Shabbos, because Shabbos, right? Shabbos inundates my entire world. Wherever I am, it's Shabbos. Whether I'm sleeping in bed or I'm in the bathroom, or whether I'm davening in shul, whether I'm eating chulent or learning a piece of Gemara, Shabbos fills all. So Shabbos, there's a hispashtus, there's this spreading out of this like cloak of ruchnius that covers over all of Gashmias. Now, does that negate the Gashmias? I mean, I still eat the chulent, so it doesn't seem like it negates the Gashmias. So what does that mean? Uveim haye hispashtus hagashmius ktsas yoser lo haye yecholes achar kach lispashet kedusha shel Shabbos she hispashtus haruchnius v'lachein omer lo olam odai leval yiskashem yoser rakafi ma she yuchol lispol haruchnius achar kach shu kedusha Shabbos. Says our Rebbe, the more of a Shemesh, something very deep. It's going to take us a couple minutes to really wrap our head around it. He says that if the world would have been more Gashmi, if the world would have dipped down a little bit lower, then we wouldn't be able to have Shabbos. The world is just Gashmi enough that it still leaves space, the possibility of what? Of at least once a week, what? Throwing this cloak of pure Ruchnius over the world, called Shabbos. That doesn't negate the Gashmius. Again, we still eat the cholent. We still eat the kugel. Right? We still sleep. We still go to the bathroom. We still engage in olam haza activities. But all of a sudden, there's enough ruchnius that we can somehow, right? Sorry, there's enough ruchnius left amidst all the gashmius to allow for Shabbos to descend on the world. Again, let's look at the words one more time. Okay? If the gashmius would have been a little bit more, then Hashem would not be able to spread out the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is a hispashtus haruchnias. Again, hispashtus means a spreading out of ruchnias. And therefore Hashem said, die, stop the world right there. Don't make it more physical. Because if it's more physical, it's not going to be able to handle Shabbos. It would be too much of a contradiction. If the world was more physical, it would be unworthy of Shabbos. So Hashem found just the right spot where we could still, what? We'd still leave space for Shabbos. Shabbos would be a possibility. V'zeu sha'amro, and that's what it means in the Medrash when it says, nichnas bo kichut ha'sara. However, why do we have to add on a little bit to Shabbos? So there's several reasons. One practical reason is because I don't know exactly. Tosefes Shabbos is a safeguard. Because I don't know exactly what time Shabbos is. You'll say, what do you mean you don't know? Go to myizmanim.com and find out exactly to the second what time Shabbos is. Well, how do I know my watch is exactly right to the second? So you'll say, well, what do you mean? Get an atomic clock and match it up with myizmanim.com. And then you can start Shabbos the second Shabbos starts. If you're off by a second, you're Mechal Shabbos. So what do we do? What do we do? Yeah, we back it up a little bit, right? We want to make a little space. We light the candles 18 minutes before Shkia. We find a way to be Mosif, to add to Shabbos. Right? We add a little at the beginning, we add a little at the end. We play it safe. It's a safeguard to protect us from violating Shabbos. But Hashem, the Medrash says, was Nichlas Bo Kechut HaSara. Hashem entered into Shabbos like a hair's breadth. Hashem knows how to get exactly to the dot, to the line. So what does that mean? What it means in our context is Hashem set up the world perfect. The Gashmias and the Ruchnias is measured so precisely. And that's not just true for the world at large, it's true for your world. I promise you that your Yetzer Hara, whatever it is, whatever your biggest struggle is, whatever your biggest spiritual strength is, I guarantee you, I promise you, that it's tailor-made for you. It's perfectly, perfectly calibrated for your neshama. Perfect. Sometimes it seems like, what, that I don't have enough ruchnias. Sometimes it seems like I have too much gashmias. Right? My neshama is broken. My neshama wasn't programmed properly. What we're learning here is that when Hashem built the world and every one of us is a world, it's perfect. Kechut asara, it's exactly the proper balance of ruchnias and gashmias. Enough for you to be a real human being, and enough for you to be able to what? To enter into that rarefied space called what? Called Shabbos Kodesh. Uperusho. The explanation is, Shabbos Shabbos also gvul utchum lahagashmias, shelo yispashet yoser od. That Shabbos creates that boundary, that border, which is part of the reason we have all the halachos of Erevin and Tchum on Shabbos, right? Shabbos reminds us that there are boundaries, there are borders. There's a very incredible precision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world, that the Gashmias shouldn't overtake us, but the Ruchnias shouldn't, you know, overwhelm us to the point that we can't choose. Al yidei kedusha Shabbos lo yeh koach v'gashmias af b'sheishis me'achol lizgashem yoser. Hashem set up the Gashmias to leave space for Shabbos, but then Shabbos acts as what? As a border, as a boundary, to keep us tied in, so that what? So that by the time we get to Friday, we haven't fallen apart. Shabbos also is going to help us throughout the week. Hayom Yom Rishon b'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Shlishi b'Shabbos. You know what that's doing? That's keeping us grounded. That's keeping us roped in. Because without that Shabbos, right, I would drift too far out to sea and I would never be able to get back to the shore. So there's an incredible balance that's taking place. Right? Shabbos protecting the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week leaving space for Shabbos. Ki espashes kedusha Shabbos hu misnotzes af b'sheish smei amasa. Because that hashpa of Shabbos is felt misnotzes. It radiates, it shines. Right? And nitzut is a spark. There's sparkles of it, there's traces of it throughout the week. We could tap into a little bit of Shabbos on a Wednesday afternoon if we need it. Hayom yom. Revi b'Shabbos. That's how we tap in. V'zeh shabar Hashem yisbarach ha'olam b'kel shakai. And that's what Hashem said. I am kel shakai. Sha'amr la'olam odai. I know exactly how to calibrate the world. Leval yisrachiv yisgashim yoser. That it shouldn't be too gashmi. It shouldn't be too ruchni. It's perfect. Perfectly calibrated. Okay, quickly. Jonah James, yeah.
Okay, I guess.
Oh, it's 10:34. Okay, yeah, go.
Why are we touching that when the Shem says Shaka, it's die, by the way, stop, it's frantic. Why are we interpreting that as the world shouldn't be so gashmius? Why isn't, like, the simple touch seems like a stop expanding, no more expanding universe?
Which, right? Means?
Like, he's saying, talking about a metaphysical, but the Gemara seems like it's talking about how Shem's physically creating the world.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah. Ozma.
Isn't there, like, another medrash that's like,
could be.
Yes.
Could be. Could be. But either way, you're agreeing with the concept. They're both true, right? I mean, there is, yes, there are physical boundaries of the world. As much as it seems infinite to us, there is a, whatever any of that means. I don't know how it works.
Can we say this is a mucker for, like, we don't, like, there's no expanding universe?
You say, how does this work with... maybe yes, maybe no. I have some thoughts on that, but I don't know enough. Aleph, I don't know enough, and B, I definitely can't share it right now. But yeah, there's yes, right. How does this work with the notion of an expanding, right? Or is that an expansion within, right? Is that like Tor Shvach Peh, an expansion of Tor Shvach Sav? It's not really a new thing, it's just an expansion of that which was already there.
in the Maror Shesh, maybe it's not such a problem.
Right. Right. These are very delicate sugyas to work out. Yeah.
This might just be me connecting to myself more personally, but that concept between if you add more godliness, if you add more physicality to the world, the balance would be messed up. I think that for me, at least, like being not YU and seeing that other side of things, adding more than that wasn't good for me, and adding like less than that in a sense wasn't good for me either, and seeing that you need that balance of both is needed. So the same thing that if you were to add more God into that world, or if you were to go straight to the option that may have been the one, you wouldn't necessarily appreciate the other side, like seeing the other side of it and realizing that it really is the other one. So if there's too much God in the world, you wouldn't necessarily have that physical to appreciate the godliness, which is all you know.
Right, right. They complement each other. Right. That's right. You didn't go to Binghamton. You didn't go to Panovich. You came to Ayo. Okay. But meaning that's really that's what you're saying. That's the answer in your world, right?
Yeah.
That's the answer in your world. Each person has to know what his... Yeah, I guess I'm not saying those are like the only... those are the polar extremes. Binghamton University and Panovich too. But, right. And again, and every person, and that's why there is a lot of personal feeling in this sugya that he's painting for us. Right? There's this incredibly delicate balance, okay, that we're all experiencing of where are my lines? Where are my lines in Gashmias? Where are my lines in Ruchnias? Where do they meet up? Where's that point of intersection? And how do I become my best self by engaging that spot? Okay? Okay, Chavar, let's keep going. Let's get to the punchline. The Ikra Kavana, I've been reading a little slow on purpose because I see people making an effort to get better at learning Svarim and writing down words, and I really appreciate that effort. You're helping yourself. Okay, but I'm going to go a little faster now just to wrap up. So as we said, the main purpose of creating the world is that the Shechina should dwell in the Tachtonim, in the lower realms. But when the generations were Makalka, when they messed up, they messed up with their actions. Kmo dor ha'mabel, the dor ha'flaga. V'al yedei ma'aseim ha'ra'im nistalka ha'shechina. We pushed out the Shechina by making bad choices in the mabel and the dor ha'flaga. V'nichza v'nis'alim hiskalus ha'lukut. And we lost that connection. Right? We drove the world down to the point that godliness was concealed from us. But then we were zochav achar kach b'matan Torah paska zuama. Like the Gemara says, we stood at Har Sinai and the zuama, the filth, the impurity of the world stopped. It was eradicated. And that's why at our Sinai we were able to say, what? Ata reis ledas. We saw it. We could see it. We saw the elukus. Hashras hashchina b'tachtonim. It all came back to us. But then we messed up again. Achein achar kach chazer kilkulu le'isano al yedei maisa egel. We messed up again by making an egel. Val yedei ze osu meisa chamavdil v'lo yaskalas elukus. We put up a wall again between us and Hashem. And there was a separation of godliness. L'chein tziva Hashem yisbarach lasas ha-mishkanim kol kelev. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I want to find a way to have a place that's perfectly calibrated. Because you keep throwing the world back and forth to these extremes. You have extreme moments of revelation. You have extreme moments of sin. Hashem says, I want a place that captures the vision of creation, which is what? A perfect balance. A building that is a microcosm of the whole universe. That is perfectly calculated. That's what the Mishkan is supposed to be. Kedei lahashros hashchina besocho v'yizgalu alokuso b'neim. A place of hashros hashchina. A place where I could reveal myself. Kamo shenamar, kamo shamar akasu v'shachanti besocho. I want to dwell in your midst. U'vizeh yeh nishlam kavanas habriya bereishas hamachshava. And with this creation, I'll be able to at least say I accomplished my goal in some measure. Because Hashem says, I want a balanced world. I want a world that's precisely calibrated. But you Jews keep going to the extremes. You have extreme moments of closeness to me and extreme moments of rebellion against me. So Hashem says, give me at least a spot. She has Galus and Lakuza where we can get it right. And that's what it means. The Mishkan is a microcosm of creation. The way that creation in its ideal form is perfectly calibrated. The Mishkan is the same thing. The Mishkan is is comparable to creation because it achieves the goal of creation. Therefore, the Mishkan has to be built what? Incredibly precise. Limshoch bo ruchni is gadol, v'shelo yizgashim eizah davar v'binyano. That the building should be built what? In a way that it's not too gashmi. Because if that's Moshe's question, if it's going to be a physical space, is that going to work? And Hashem says, "Whoa, hold on a second. No, it's going to be this perfect. It's going to be exactly like the world is supposed to be. A perfect blend of ruchnius and gashmius. We actually have gashmius kishiur, the right amount of gashmius, she yispo haruchnius hayoser gadol, to be able to handle the best ruchnius possible. Ukamoshe tichem akadosh baruch hu olam shelo yisrachiv yisgashim af kechot hasara. Just like when Hashem set up the world, it was not off by even a hair's breadth. Kamoshe avru nichnas bo kechot hasara. Like I told you, the Medrash says Hashem timed creation and that transition to Shabbos down to the tiniest, line. Kach hayutzrichim kavana rabba v'binyan ha-mishkan. So too, we need incredible, incredible precision in building a mishkan. And by extension, chavra, what this means is you have to live your life with precision. You have to find, you have to really think hard about the choices you make in ruchnius and gashmius. You're going to be in both worlds. You're going to eat food. You're going to sleep. You're going to have a job. You're going to have to engage physicality. Against your will, you're thrown into it. But to figure out exactly where that line is, am I too focused on my gashmius? Right? Am I irresponsibly focused on my ruchnius? Where is exactly that line in my life that Hashem wants me to exist? Shelo yizgashem yoser mikashir hatzarach lamshachas hakedusha. Afilu kimlo nema, to not become gashmius a drop more than the proper measurement, in order to allow myself to be a proper receptacle for kedusha. Not even kimlo nema means even again a hair's breadth. Ki im haya hagashmius yoser ktsas af kechot asara. Because what we're learning is, and again, this has been the theme of the week, by the way, because you remember when we learned about zrizos, right, by matzah, and we said really it's true by all mitzvos. We said the same way a second. Off by a second is the difference between a matzah and chametz. Off by 1 second. Think about Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. The Pasuk says in Chumash, Lo yuchal lihismameya. They could not wait a second longer. We were a second away from self-destruction. So a Jew has to see his life always hanging in the balance. And again, it's a little heavy, but it's true. I'm always in a very delicate position. I have a body. That's real. I have an neshama. That's also really real. And to be able to walk that tightrope of life is a really big achrayus. That's a really big achrayus. It's a really big achrayus. I'm trying to remember the lyrics from an Eviatar Banai song. He talks about like being, always being like caught, mamish, like between. I don't remember what the word there, being yayush and something. No, not that one. If you pull up a list of the songs, I think. Adam Nizrak, that song. David's pulling it up. Adam Nizrak. It's about your soul being thrown into this world and how you're always mamish, like you're on this line. Our whole life is on this line. We left Mitzrayim with matzah to the second. We left Mitzrayim at exactly the last second. Hashem set up the world, Shakai, exactly on this incredibly delicate line that separates what? That separates spiritual success and total, physical involvement. You got the song or no?
I think so, yeah. Is it Rikud Ben Yeyosh Namuna?
A Rikud, that's a beautiful line. A Rikud, a dance, right? A dance, Rikud Ben Yeyosh Namuna. I'm dancing between utter despair and incredible faith. That's our life. A Rikud Ben Yeyosh Namuna. Gavaldik. Right? A dance also. Right? Like a really good dance performance is like incredibly precise. especially if you have, let's say, if a whole dance troupe, you know, performing together, and they're like spinning and twirling and like just barely, you know, knocking each other over. It's incredible precision. So the Mishkan became that place which represents this awesome, awesome precision by which we're expected to live our lives. So here's the punchline. Let's get to Bitzala. So what's the punchline? What does any of this have to do with Bitzala? Okay, and I'm just going to summarize because we're not going to make it to the end. It's too much. But here's the punchline. We'll do one more paragraph, and then I'll say the rest. I'll give you the oral tradition. Okay, Torah Shavuot Peh. Uvitzalel hu ha'ish asher nason bo Hashem yizbarach chachma bina v'das. Bitzalel somehow was granted by Hashem the wisdom, the intelligence, the understanding, the knowledge. Hayodeya lahamshich haruchnias hatzorech la'mishkan. Bitzalel was somehow able to understand the possibility, the challenge, and the possibility of a mishkan. To be able to bring Ruchnias onto a physical space. Right? And again, that's a lesson for all of us, because we are all that. We're all that Mishkan. V'shachati besocha. Hashem wants you to be the Mishkan. Which means with the same sensitivity and precision that Bitzal had to figure out a Mishkan, we have to figure out our lives. U'lechol kli u'kli. Oso Ruchnias atzarechlo. Each vessel, exactly the right amount of Ruchnias. V'shalo yehagashmias yoyser me'atzarech la'azbalas ha'kedusha. And it shouldn't be too gashmi to the point that it's not able to bear the holiness. And it shouldn't be too holy that it's not able to bear the gashmias. V'lo yoser af kamalo nema. Not one bit. Not one bit off. Zeu shamru. And again, that's the Gemara we quoted. The Betzalel hayodeya litzari fa'osios shenivro bem shemayim v'aretz. Why does Betzalel need to know how Hashem created the world in order to create a Mishkan? Because the same way the world was created, I know it looks crazy. The world looks chaotic. I'm actually giving a shiur at Stern today, Yirtz Hashem, on this topic. How Pesach is a big contradiction. It's total Seder and a total lack of Seder. So is the world on the one hand is so precise. You study the world, you see incredible, the precision. When you study science, you see the precision of Hashem's world. And then you also just like look at the world sometimes, it's like, it's nuts out there. It's crazy. It's total chaos. Total and utter chaos. So Bitzalel understood, no, the world is precise. And therefore Bitzalel was charged with what? With making a Mishkan. Vizeo Perish HaMedrash, that's the Medrash we quoted. Bitzel Shakai, Bitzel Sha'asa Bitzalel. Bitzalel understood the secret of the name Shakai. Bitzalel understood how precise the world is. Hainu Kefijim Mavur Le'el. Shetichem V'Briyasa Olam B'Shem Shakai, that Hashem, again, set up the tchum of the world with the name Shakai. Sha'amar la'olam odai. Leval yiskashem od yoser af kechut hasara. Precision in the building of the world. Hakavana zo atma yitzorach Bitzalel lebinyan ha'mishkan v'keilov. And that's what exactly Bitzalel needed to build. What? To build the bayis and to build the vessels. Leval yiskashem yoser af kechut hasara. However, we all have to be that kli. We all have to be that space. We all have to nurture and build the vessels, the kalim of our inner world. Gam al pizeh yuvan ha-medrash. Now we understand. The medrash told us what? Kol abina shahaya bebitzalel, mishel shakai haya. All the Bitzalel's wisdom came from Shakai. Why using that name of Hashem? Because that's exactly the point. Bitzalel's mission in building the Mishkan mirrors Hashem's name Shakai when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. How did Bitzalel know that? Where did Bitzalel learn it from? He learned it from Shabbos. He learned it from Shabbos. Because Shabbos also walks that line so carefully, that line of Ruchnias and Gashmias. Shabbos on the one hand is so Ruchni. Shabbos on the other hand is so Gashmi. Right? And the way that a Jew is able to engage Gashmias in an elevated way on Shabbos is really the answer. It's really the answer to knowing that, you know what? I have to take that and bring it back into the week. On a Tuesday afternoon, on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Thursday afternoon, even though I have a lot of gashmias in my life, I can still have an equally proper measure of ruchnias in my life. Even when I have a chem test. Even when I have a chem test. Or even when I'm trying to, you know, lock up that internship. Or even when the banks are collapsing. Right? And I feel that I'm drowning. There's a balance that a Jew, that line, you have to always try to stay, to walk that line, that tightrope, to get back to that line. So, we didn't answer all of our questions that we started with. But the bottom line is, when everyone started bringing stuff for the Mishkan, everyone's donating and bringing and giving, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful display of generosity. But Hashem says, Moshe, listen, you get this, but go tell the Chevra, go tell the Chevra what's going on here. By the way, what's the gematria of Kel Shakai? Very quickly. Kel, Aleph Lamed is?
31.
Shakai? 314. 31 plus 314 is? 345. 345 is gematria. Moshe. Moshe, you get it. Moshe got it. Moshe, I want you to know that Bezalel also gets it. He's your guy. But what happens when everyone starts throwing the gashmiyah? So we're gonna make a space for God. Hashem's like, whoa, time out, time out. Moshe, go tell everyone that Bezalel's in charge here. You need that. We need a role model. We need someone who can show us what it means to what? Bezalel Shakai. All of his understanding is Shakai. He's an expert at finding that line. Right? Be careful. Be careful. They're throwing gashmiyahs at Ruchnias, right? They want to build the Mishkan. You got to do it right. You got to go slow. You got to find that. You got to figure it out. Shabbos Kodesh. It's very precise. It's very precise, Shabbos. Right? There's a very nuanced way to... There's a fine line between eating the chulin l'shem chulin and eating the chulin l'shem, you know, kavod Shabbos. It's a very fine line. So Moshe, go tell Klal Yisrael, right? Go inform them about this. And that's why our parsha begins with what? Shabbos and then Mishkan. Right? Understand the sugya of Shabbos well. Then you'll understand, right, the possibility of Mishkan, which is really the goal of creation. And by the way, in case you think you all know how to do it, Moshe, go tell them. Watch Bezalel. Watch how a person who does it. Watch. Find a tzaddik in your life. Find a role model in your life. Right? Find the person a little further down the road of life. Meet the guy who somehow is able to be, he gives daf yomi in his shul, and he learns night seder, and he's involved with so many chesed organizations, but he also is a hedge fund manager, and he's you know, very successful financially, and somehow he figures out, he gets the minyan every day, somehow he's able to balance it all. Find your Bezalel. Find the person who's going to show you how to do it, because if you just start throwing stuff at the Mishkan, it's going to come out chaotic. It has to be precise. Shabbos Kodesh teaches us about that very fine balance of Ruchnius and Gashmius. Okay, so I know I'm like trying to tie up a lot of loose ends here, but I hope the main yesod is super clear to you, which is that every one of us is a miniature world. Every one of us is a Mishkan. Every one of us has to be like a Bezalel. Has to Bezalel Shakai, to walk. Again, I'm not going to be it perfectly, but at least I can shadow it. You know, I could try to Bezalel, I could walk in the shadow of it. To try to find, to ask myself, am I overcompensating in Ruchnius? Am I overcompensating in Gashmias? Am I living a balanced life? Am I being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, the way the world was supposed to be? A person can be very busy with Ruchnias, and it's very unhealthy. A person can obviously be sunken into Gashmias, and it's very unhealthy. Where's that line for myself? And at what stage am I up to? Right? Mishkan didn't happen like that. They built it piece by piece. Make an Aron. Make a menorah. Make a shulchan. You got to do it. You got to do it just right. There's a lot in this piece. Yeah.
Bezalel tried to over Moshe to make the Mishkan. You can see that Moshe was, he was much more in Hashem's role. So even
right.
Off, you couldn't even picture the menorah.
That's right.
That Hashem had to come up.
That's right. Bezalel was more. That's right. Somehow Bezalel, right, as much as Moshe got it, but his Lefi Madre Gosso, his balancing was too lofty. Salah was a little bit more of a realistic role model. That's also true. I mean, if I start comparing myself, I say, we went to Stuchin on Zhuzhan Purim, so we saw the Stuchin Rebbe. So now, you know, what level are you? Like, his line is not your line. Right? So everyone has to find that line for themselves. But realize that, again, you're a miniature world, you're a miniature Mishkan. Shakai. Hashem gave you just the right amount of Yetzirah. Hashem gave you just the right amount of spiritual kochos. Hashem gave you just the right amount of taivas. Hashem gave you just the right amount of physical capabilities. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Okay. I know this was long. I hope it was worth it. I think it was. I think it's pretty fundamental to being a successful human being.